morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Grenville Strategic Royalties 2017 third quarter results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question and answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. If anyone has difficulties hearing the conference, you may press star zero for operator assistance at any time. I would like to remind everyone that today's discussions may contain forward-looking statements that reflect current views with respect to future events. Any such statements are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those projected in the forward-looking statements. For more information on Grenville's risks and uncertainties related to these forward-looking statements, please refer to the company's Management Information Circular, dated May 11, 2017, which is available on SEDAR. Today's call is being recorded on November 22, 2017. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Steve Perry, Chief Executive Officer of Grenville Strategic Royalty.
Thank you, Operator, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for participating in today's call. I am joined today by Donica Rao, our Chief Financial Officer. Yesterday afternoon, we released our 2017 third quarter financial results, which can be found on our website at grenvillesrc.com. Before we begin, I'd remind listeners of our quarterly and investor presentation, which we post to our website, grenvillesrc.com, on the financials page, which contains additional useful information about our business and our portfolio. It was a strong quarter. We reported positive adjusted EBITDA and positive free cash flow for the quarter. Q3 represents the fifth quarter in the past six quarters that we've had positive free cash flow. Our investments translate into free cash flow from royalties and contract buyouts. As a result, the number one metric on which to judge our performance is cash generation. Since inception, we have deployed more than $68 million in capital, and those investments have generated $42.6 million in cash returns. Free cash flow was $166,000 for Q3. Royalty and interest payment income was $1.2 million for Q3. We made strong progress on our goal of achieving a $400,000 monthly royalty run rate. In less than 6 months, we've effectively replenished the impact of the Aquam contract buyout to monthly royalty income. The cost reductions we implemented last year are having a material impact on our cost structure. Our operating expenses in the third quarter were the lowest they've been in more than 2 years, at $220,000 per month. As such, the $400,000 threshold is a highly sustainable run rate for the business. It allows us to grow the business with excess free cash flows, including future contract buyouts as they arise. Our royalty-based alternative capital continues to fill an important gap for small and medium-sized enterprises looking for growth capital without dilution or seeding management control. Our pipeline is as strong as it's ever been. The number of deals we screen continues to grow as we sourced and reviewed more deals during the quarter than ever before. However, the cadence of actual deal flow closings was frustrating. It slowed during the quarter, really due to simple timing issues of bringing term sheets to close. The important points to consider in this are the fact that this is a timing issue. We remain extremely bullish in our ability to access high-quality opportunities based on the existing pipeline. We are being as vigilant as ever as we select the best opportunities for our next round of investments that adhere to the updated investment criteria we instituted mid-last year. And lastly, we are building our cash position, with free cash flow strengthening the balance in the interim. It's ready to deploy, and we expect to return to a more consistent level of deal flow as we exit 2017 and into 2018. This quarter, we deployed $425,000 during the quarter in the hybrid financial investment. Hybrid financial provides retail-focused origination and distribution services to the investment management industry throughout North America. It works with brand name brokerages and publicly listed companies in Canada and the U.S. It supports brokerages by placing deal flow into the retail broker network in an efficient and effective manner, and it supports publicly listed companies by raising awareness for them and their fundamentals amongst retail investment advisors. Hybrid reflects the revised investment strategy we implemented last year, which is driven by the profound increase in access to data on potential investments. Since inception in 2013, we've acquired data on well over 10,000 companies across both established and emerging market sectors. This now represents a very valuable proprietary asset of the company. As a result, and this is true of every market we look at, we have a data-driven view of the opportunity for Grenville. We can now assess the range of opportunities in virtually any market chain, ranging from large enterprise or infrastructure-type companies that will require larger sums of capital to businesses requiring capital that is right-sized to a royalty investment. We can use this data to differentiate momentum-driven deals from those opportunities that fit our value investor approach. This is one of the great advantages to the royalty model. Unlike traditional operating businesses, we don't need to develop operating expertise and capacity to generate positive results, and it is not a change of business to access new high-growth markets where we perceive future value to exist. To put this in perspective, if you simply divide our 3.5% average royalty rate into the monthly royalty income of $1.2 million, you'll see that the aggregate production generating our royalties is equivalent to about a $120 million revenue business with a 4% adjusted EBITDA margin. We think this is an extremely robust business, and that's really the key to the royalty model. The portfolio is today stronger than it was a year ago. We have made significant changes to reduce our cost structure. We are generating positive free cash flow on a consistent basis, and we are screening more opportunities than ever before while remaining vigilant in where we deploy that capital. With a staff of 7, we manage a revenue and EBITDA engine of significant scale and value. And with that, I'll turn it over to Donica to review the financial results.
Thank you, Steve. Royalty payment and interest income was $1.2 million in Q3 2017 compared to $2.05 million in the same period in 2016. The change is primarily due to approximately $810,000 in royalty payment income from 7 investments which have not been paid for at least 3 months. Revenues were negative $1.2 million in Q3 compared to negative $850,000 in the same period last year. Revenues were negatively impacted by net non-cash items of negative $2.4 million compared to negative $3.2 million in the same period last year. The net non-cash items consisted of $1.4 million of unrealized loss in write-downs to the fair value of royalty agreements acquired and promissory notes receivable, $365,000 of unrealized loss from changes in fair value of the Lattice shares, and $680,000 of unrealized foreign exchange loss. Total operating expenses were $713,000 in Q3 compared to $876,000 for the same period last year. The $163,000 improvement is a result of lower expenses across all expense categories in the current period, which reflects the cost reductions initiated are continuing to have an impact. Salaries and benefits were $319,000 for the period compared to $349,000 for the same period last year. The improvement reflects the impact of the voluntary and temporary management salary reductions in 2017 and 2 fewer employees. We estimate operating expenses to run between $2.4 million and $3 million on an annual basis going forward, or $200,000 to $250,000 on a monthly basis. We recorded adjusted EBITDA of $556,000 in Q3 compared to $1.4 million in the same period last year. The change is primarily due to the $810,000 of royalty payment income recognized from the seven investees mentioned earlier for which no royalty income was recognized this quarter. Free cash flow was $166,000 in Q3 compared to $164,000 in the same period last year. As of November 21, 2017, we believe royalty payment income and interest income for the month of October will be approximately $400,000, which equates to approximately $200,000 in adjusted EBITDA. Our focus is to consistently exceed $400,000 per month run rate in royalty income as we redeploy capital from a growing cash position into new royalty investments. As at September 30, 2017, the loans and royalty agreements acquired were $68.3 million, an increase from $64 million at the end of 2016. Working capital was $8.7 million, and our cash position was $8.6 million. Past due royalty payments were $42,000, of which $15,000 was collected after the end of the quarter. I'll now turn it back over to Steve for his closing thoughts.
Thanks, Donica. The royalty investment model we have designed for Grenville is quite simple. It's a cash-on-cash business, which is why we focus on free cash flow. We have invested over $68 million since inception and delivered more than $42 million in cash returns, including more than $18 million in aggregate proceeds from contract buyouts. The positive free cash flows from our royalty streams and the opportunities for additional contract buyouts in the portfolio, which we believe will occur periodically, provide a strong operating base for the business and an excellent platform for future investment growth. The important changes we made mid-last year to the structure of the organization and the portfolio are beginning to emerge. Our focus is to consistently maintain a monthly royalty income above that $400,000 level at which the business generates sustainable cash flow. We have more than $8 million in capital available to deploy into new investments. Our portfolio is strong and growing each month with higher quality opportunities. With the six new investments in 2017, we intend to return to a more consistent pace as we exit 2017 and into 2018. We've made steady progress in the past year and a half, and we are positioned to exit 2017 in a much stronger position with a business operating at significant scale and value. In closing, I would like to thank our shareholders for the commitment and patience they've demonstrated as we executed our growth-focused strategy. At this time, we'd now like to take your questions. Operator?
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. And our first question today comes from David Quezada from Raymond James. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Morning, guys.
Morning, David.
Good morning.
Steve, maybe you can just talk about, if possible, a little bit more color on how the royalty book has stabilized over the past year or so since you changed your strategy. Any qualitative comments you could provide on that?
Sure. The first part was we simply reduced emphasis on some underperforming deals. These went into basically workout mode where we worked to find solutions and put them into a different position. You can think of the Lattice transaction as being one of those things. That's a transaction where we're more likely to be successful as an equity holder than as a royalty holder. So we made a conscious decision to make that change. At the same time, the new deals we're doing are performing very much like the early deals of Grenville's history. If you go back to that first 2014, early 2015 set of deals, they all had very similar characteristics to the ones we're investing in today. And by that I mean there's some very significant growth in the businesses. We think are sort of top quality management teams and a business that we can estimate the potential for recurring or increased revenues readily based on the performance of their business. So away from things that have, say, an enterprise software focus that might be harder to predict. All those things cumulatively add up to easier to manage, more consistent portfolio performance. That's felt very much like what's happened through 2017 through 2017. As a result, when we do see a quarter like this where we're investing more slowly than we would like, it's not because there aren't quality deals. In this particular case, it's really about the fact that the deals are just taking longer to close, and we are frankly prepared to take that time because that just means good quality due diligence, making sure we have the deal right, and then closing.
Okay, great. That's helpful. Thank you. And my only other question is, I think you mentioned in your comments the potential for larger infrastructure-type company investments. Is that a shift maybe that you've seen in your opportunity set, or have those deals kind of always been there?
Yeah, I think I could have been clear on that comment. What I'm really referring to is when we look at this very large data set, we're now much more of a data-driven company than we were in 2014. We literally have a database with, you know, I would say something like 10,000 companies in it. And because of that, in any value chain, we can look at the whole range of companies that operate. And some of those companies will be large CapEx-intensive companies that, frankly, we will eliminate as potential opportunities. This isn't us saying we're going to do those. It simply says we can see each one of the different business models in that value chain. And that lets us sub-select those that actually fit the royalty model. So, you know, to take an example of a market that we're currently not invested in, take the solar industry. We would be interested in companies that are sales-oriented in solar, whereas we would not be interested in companies that are making solar panels. That's an easy model. I'm a clean tech guy, so I like to refer to things I'm familiar with. There's an example of how our data set allows us to be selective in areas where our royalties are best fit. If you went back to late 2015, we tended to be in deals that were more industrial, more bricks and mortar, more infrastructure-like, and therefore had a different risk profile than what we did early in our history. And we've gone back to that model, adding to it some criteria like recurring revenue that we really learned over the course of investing in 40 businesses.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
And if any further equity analysts have questions, please hit star 1 in order to queue. And again, that's star 1 for equity analysts to ask questions. And I'll turn the call back over to Mr. Perry for closing remarks.
Thank you, operator. Just as a note, we would remind listeners that we've now moved our offices. We're now at 1 Adelaide East, and that change has been terrific. Donica has done a great job in getting us into new digs with lower cost and a terrific footprint from which to work. We welcome questions and comments from the shareholder base, and that's where you can find us. Thank you so much for your time today, and we look forward to a great Q4.
This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.